The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So tonight I wanted to continue this theme on wise intention. But before I go there, I do want to say a really warm welcome to everybody. It's really wonderful to see you, and it's great to practice together, even with our furry little friends, too, that I can see here that wait up with us. It's kind of sweet, right? But I think often when we are, when we settle down, when we sit down on the floor, right, of course our pets are going to join us. Of course they are. So, sorry, Jess, I was just looking at you. So now your cat is right in front of the camera. That's kind of funny after I just said that. But here's the cat. It's so cute. So I wanted to build on this idea of wise intention. Many of you will know this is the second factor in the Eightfold Path. And the Eightfold Path is, there's so many different ways we can understand it. But one way is that it's a collection of practices, a collection of orientations that lead to greater and greater freedom and even to awakening. And the second one is wise intention, sometimes also translated as wise attitude or wise thought, but I kind of like intention as this idea of something that's underneath our actions, that motivate our actions, or maybe motivate our thoughts, or, you know, motivate all kinds of things underneath that. They're underneath so many of the things that we do. And so for this reason, it can be really helpful to pay some attention to our intention. Just as a reminder, wise intention has three elements, non-ill will, I talked about that on Monday, non-harming or non-hostility, I talked about that yesterday, as well as introducing this idea of cause and effect or conditions creating outcomes. This is a big part of the key Buddhist teachings, we might say, that this recognition that everything we do has consequences. Everything. So that's why wise intention is important, is because, of course, our intentions have consequences. And then the third element that's for wise intention is renunciation. And this word often feels a little bit like, you know, some people, there's this sharp intake of breath, like, okay, well, everything else sounds okay, but this whole renunciation thing, I'm not so sure about that. But there's a quote from the Buddha from the suttas. If one sees that a greater happiness is found by letting go of a lesser happiness, the wise person will let go of the lesser happiness. So that's what renunciation is pointing to. It's saying that there might be some things that we grab onto thinking that they're going to be a source of lasting happiness, things that we cling to, get attached to, hold on to. And of course, they turn out not to be sources of lasting happiness. And the Buddha is saying, once you realize this, you will let go of those and you can find some greater happiness. And sometimes awakening is called the highest happiness. So rather than this idea of renunciation being something that we have to let go of all things or all experiences, instead the teaching, the practice is to let go of our clinging to objects and our experiences, our grabbing onto, our stickiness, the attachment, pouncing or snatching, or, you know, these types of movements that we might do with our mind or literally with our bodies, that onto things that we think are going to make us happy. So the Buddha didn't teach renunciation as a form of denial or as a form of asceticism. It's more of a sense of be clear about the highest happiness, what brings the greatest sense of ease, well-being, and freedom. And of course, many of us know that clinging to objects doesn't bring the highest happiness. Clinging to our possessions doesn't. I just recently moved, and as I'm like packing and then unpacking, I'm thinking, like, why do I have so many objects? You know, and then just this kind of lightness that happens, you know, actually, I don't need this. This was something that I might have used 15 years ago, but, you know, I don't need it now. So just this recognition, how many of these things do we have that we're carrying around that maybe we don't need? So this recognition of when we are grabbing or holding or clinging onto things, thinking that they're going to bring us happiness, but also recognizing that many of these things often don't bring, it might bring momentary pleasure, of course, but that's different than the source of lasting happiness, right? A meaningful happiness. And part of what underlies this, I don't want any of us to think that we're bad people, quote unquote, because we do this. We all do this. We all do this. It's part of human nature. And as I've said before, we have how many billion-dollar industry to convince us to buy more things, right? That we need more things, more objects, or more experiences. But they're often underneath this, and that Madison Avenue really wants us to believe, is I am incomplete as I am now. Something is deficient. I'm deficient in some kind of way. Maybe that's not articulated so clearly, but that's that kind of a feeling or kind of gest or movement of towards that feeling is what often is underneath our grabbing onto things. And then renunciation is pointing to the possibility, the practice of loosening up the grip we have on objects and possessions. And so this, of course, is where loving kindness can come in. If this, if we have this idea that I'm insufficient, inadequate in some kind of way, loving kindness practice is a way that kind of fills up our hearts and brings some ease and brings some freedom and brings a little bit of well-being or and can be a certain type of happiness as well. And once we know that this kind of happiness of wishing others well-being is possible, then it helps put into perspective all other happinesses, other momentary pleasures. So loving kindness practice can support renunciation in two ways. One, it helps undermine, question, get rid of any feeling of I'm inadequate in some kind of way. And two, it allows us to dip into and rest in a sense of well-being, the sense of the happiness that's associated with having loving kindness, whether it's for ourselves or whether it's for others. So in this way, loving kindness can support renunciation, which is a part of wise intention, which is part of the Eightfold Path, which is part of what leads to greater and greater freedom, all the way to complete freedom. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. A posture that has ease and as well as some comfort, as well as some dignity or uprightness. And it's worthwhile, it's definitely worthwhile spending a little time with one's posture, finding the right way or the right configuration of muscles and bones and sinews or whatever it is that makes up our posture. And then just to feel into the experience of being here right now. Feeling the sensations of sitting. I like this expression, to sit and know that you're sitting. That is to bring some awareness to our experience. Feeling the pressure of the chair cushion against the body. Maybe resting the attention on the sensations of breathing. Feeling the movement of the chest or the abdomen. Maybe feeling the air going in and out of the nose. Right now, there's nothing else to do. Nowhere else to be. We're just here together, meditating, creating the conditions in which there can be some settling, some quieting. Feeling the breath, the sensations, the experience from the inside, as opposed to thinking about the breath. And you find yourself lost in thought, just in a very simple, relaxed way. Just begin again with the sensations of breathing. Allowing the breath to be natural. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. This might be by using, what will be by using your imagination, unless that lovable being is standing right in front of you. But the lovable being might also be imaginary. Maybe a kitten or puppy or baby. Or maybe somebody with whom you have a relationship. Or somebody that is inspiring or has touched you, benefited you in some way, even though you might not have a relationship. A teacher, a coach, a leader. Whomever you choose should be uncomplicated and should really support a sense of, yes, this is some warmth towards this person, some or being, some respect, care, benevolence, goodwill, love, kindness, friendliness, appreciation. And then having this lovable being in mind, can say these phrases to support the development and cultivation of loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. allowing any experiences, sensations of well-being or ease, maybe some warm-heartedness in the chest area or nice feeling in the belly. Allow these experiences to be a support and maybe a foundation from which the loving kindness grows. You might not have that experience. That's okay too. It's perfectly fine. But if you do, can use it as a resource. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then we'll expand our loving kindness to ourselves. Sometimes this is not as easy as for the lovable being, but of course we are lovable beings too. So bring to mind either a felt sense of what it's like to sit here right now, or an image of yourself. Some people like to use an image of when they were a child. Maybe how you are right now. In the same way, may I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. IBC. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Some people find it helpful to put their hand on their heart as a way to support feeling connected and as a gesture of support. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, allowing any physical sensations of well-being or warm-heartedness, openness, spaciousness. This might be subtle. It might be just a small portion of your experience. It might be your dominant experience of what's most obvious. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness to a neutral person, someone that we don't really know, we don't have feelings necessarily towards them. This could be somebody that's here in the Zoom call that you don't know. Or maybe it's the neighbor that you sometimes see walking their dog, or maybe the mail carrier. Often this is a little bit of a stretch to extend loving kindness to those we don't have a relationship with, whether we love them or really don't love them. But someone that's neutral, be a little bit more, require just a little bit more effort to stay with the practice. So bringing a neutral person to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You might incline your mind towards those sensations that support a feeling of loving kindness, using the physical sensations, using the body as a support for this practice of loving kindness. And to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, saying the phrases is a way that we can renew our intention with each phrase. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feel your feet on the ground. Feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of renunciation as a way of letting go a lesser happiness in order to experience a greater happiness. What are some of the things that we hold on to, cling to, are attached to, thinking that they will be a source of lasting happiness, but they aren't really? A big part of what Buddhist practice is about is discovering this. And how loving kindness practice can help support the feeling of a sense of happiness that might help put the other types of happinesses in perspective. And it also might heal any feeling like we don't have enough. I'm not enough. They're frantic, get more. Loving kindness practice may heal or soften or diminish if there's any of that kind of thinking or beliefs. So now it can be really helpful to talk about or explore some of these ideas with others. Plus, it's just nice to connect with other people as this pandemic continues. It can be really nice to connect with everybody here is such a beautiful person. I don't know everybody individually, but I know from practicing at IMC and I've been in small groups, I've never had an incident where I felt like, oh my goodness, what's happening here? So you don't have to say your deepest, darkest secrets. It can be helpful maybe to just say a few sentences and then I'll go around the circle, so to speak. And go to the next person and the next person. And then it comes back around. Then there's something new for you to say, having been influenced or reminded by hearing the others. So it's not so much a series of monologues, but it's like an individual saying something and then other people listening and allowing themselves to take it in. And we're not giving advice to one another, of course, either. So we'll be in groups of three or four and meet for 13 minutes. And we'll say that the person with the most characters in their screen name goes first. So the longest screen name to the shortest screen name can be the order around the circle, so to speak. Okay, so have fun. Okay, so welcome back, and I'd love to hear how that was, or anything that you would like to share about how that was in the small group, maybe some new ideas, or maybe just an appreciation, or whatever it might be. Sheila.
I just want to say I really appreciated being part of the group. I felt connected, you know, to the women in the group. I mean, there weren't any men, but it was just like a nice feeling. That's all.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Sheila. It can be nice to connect in this way. Anybody else have a comment? I see some people shaking their heads when you were saying that, Sheila.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Michael.
I have like a great level of gratitude toward the happy hour and the Sangha and the teachers and the Dharma. And yeah, and I'll leave it at that. So deep bows to you all.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Michael. Yes, deep bows to the Dharma and to our fellow practitioners. Yeah, for this opportunity to practice together. Anybody else have a comment or Phil?
Our group just, we seem to have a lot of shared experience and just, I don't know, we kind of hit it off and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So is there, I keep on repeating myself. Anybody else? But there's no pressure. You don't have to speak, but I just want to provide the opportunity if anybody feels like they would like to. Okay. So we'll I'll unmute us all and we can say goodbye and maybe share our appreciation for practicing together. So thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna.
Well, the Sangha Mim. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to hear your lovely voice.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Peter.
Now, see you again.